Luke chapter 7, it is wonderful to be together. We'll get back in Isaiah 53 on Sunday morning. But I just had some things that Lord put on my mind, my heart over the last few weeks, and just thought it would be pertinent maybe get those out on Wednesday night. And with the Lord's help, we'll do that and hope it'll be a help to you tonight. Luke chapter 7, it's April 2026. It's April Fool's Day. I don't have a joke for you. Amen. But I did think it would be kind of neat to preach on wisdom on April Fool's Day. Right. And so I didn't really plan that out until I was getting ready to come to church tonight. And I was like, oh yeah, we're going to preach on wisdom. Anyway, it's April already. Time flies, doesn't it? I'm 43 years old. I'll be 44 this year. Time flies. Some of you will be a year older. Time flies. I was talking to a lady today. She and her husband have been married 40 years. Mom and dad just celebrated 50 years. Valerie and I, if we make it to September, which I plan on doing, the only thing that would change that's the rapture. Amen. But 17 years being married, and just, man, it just goes so fast. But I began, you know, as you get older, you sort of start thinking about your life and you reflect on things. And I was looking back the other day, just thinking while I was on the road, I had a lot of windshield time. And just of the ways that God's blessed me in my life. And I can remember growing up in this church and listening to Brother Scott teach and listening to Brother Brent preach. And I can't remember everything, just like you can't remember everything that I preach and teach. But a few of those things stuck. And one of the things that really impressed me as a young man growing up here and hearing the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God is that God's way is the best way. Amen. And you can slice that 1,000 different ways you want to slice that, but God's way is the best way. The Bible does say in Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And sometimes we devise our own ways. Sometimes we come up with our own ideas. As we talked about last Wednesday night, many times we'll make decisions and not consult God about it. And we just hope for the best, you know, and that's kind of like playing Russian roulette with your life. But God knows best. He's all wise. The right kind of wisdom comes from God in this world. And you're going to see here in a minute, there's a kind of wisdom that you don't want because it doesn't end well. But God's wisdom is the best wisdom, and God's way is the best way, and God's word is always right. And so it just does us good to remember that and to apply that to our lives. But here's the thought that I just want to bring out to you tonight, and it's why we sang Farther Along and started talking about time, is there's some decisions I made at 14, 15, 16 that I made with the Word of God in mind and as best I knew how, following the wisdom of God. And at 43, I'm really glad I made them. There's some decisions I made in my 20s, best I knew how, following the wisdom of God and the Scriptures. And at 43 years old, I'm so thankful that I made those decisions. There's decisions that I made in my 30s and 40s and that we've made just in the last few months, trying to follow the wisdom of God and looking back at it, just removed from the intensity of those situations. And you look back and you say, man, I'm so glad I did what God said to do. I'm so glad I just let God direct my life and let God direct my thoughts and let God direct my actions. And I guess, you know, not necessarily preaching to the young people tonight, but I think that's where a lot of this gets foundational in our lives, is you begin to make decisions for God before you get married, before you have kids, before you have the career, and life really speeds up. Once you get married, it speeds up. Then the kids come and it really speeds up. And it's like exponentially depending on how many you have. Okay? And then, you know, you add a cat and a dog and you're just like, what am I doing? You know? But when life begins to get fast like that, sometimes it's hard to slow down and wait for God and try to make conscious decisions per the Bible. And I think the point of this tonight is if you'll always try to seek God like we talked about last week and do what the Lord wants you to do in your life, and try to follow God's wisdom in the Bible the best you know how. One day, it might be a year, it might be 5 years, it might be 10 years, it might be 40 years. Down the road, you can look back and say, man, God was right. His way is the best way. And so Luke chapter 7 tonight, it's familiar passage maybe to some. This is companion passage to Matthew 11. We're just going to look at this one tonight, a little simpler. And the Bible says this in Luke 7 verse 31. The Lord said, whereunto shall I liken the men of this generation? And to what are they like? They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, we've piped unto you and you've not danced. It's because men got no business dancing. Anyway. We've mourned to you and you've not wept. 33. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. And if you take those four verses, what you've got is you've got misunderstandings between people. You got a group there that they're piping to another group, and they're, you know, playing music, and they're expecting that group to dance to their music, and they're not dancing to it. Kind of like the world plays its music and forces its music upon the Christian, and the Christian not dance to it. And then you got some people there that are mourning, and they expect everybody else to be mourning with them, and they're not. And there's some misunderstanding, there's some differences there. And then you get John the Baptist, and I mean, Jesus is going to say later on in our message tonight, Jesus is going to say he's the greatest prophet that ever lived. And yet, people said John the Baptist is devil-possessed. It's kind of crazy, isn't it? They didn't understand. They didn't get it. They didn't understand. Misunderstanding. And then verse 34, the Son of Man. Well, who's that? That's Jesus Christ. Come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man. I doubt it. A winebibber, not my Savior. A friend of publicans and sinners. Well, if that's his only charge, then thank you, Lord. Right? And so the first four verses, it's all about this misunderstanding and this not being able to see past, you know, some of these preconceived notions maybe, or it's not agreeing with those that are doing something contrary to the world. I mean, John the Baptist was the contrary to the world you're going to get. And people said he's got a devil. Jesus Christ was the greatest man who's ever lived on the face of this earth. He's a sinless, spotless Lamb of God, and people didn't like him. That's weird to me. But the reality is, if you and I are going to be like Jesus, and we sure want to be, amen. Have thine own way, Lord. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see. Christ only always, living in that ought to be our hope. But you know as well as I do, and I preach on this, this isn't the message tonight, but I've preached on this a lot around in my years here. If you're going to live for Jesus, the world's not going to understand you. If you're going to live for Jesus, the world may not like you. If you're going to live for Jesus, you may have coworkers or family members or even church members that disagree with you. Verse 35 is the key verse tonight. But wisdom is justified of her children. And if you and I will yield our lives to God's wisdom, if we will yield ourselves to God's leading, and if we will do and obey what God says to do in this Bible, one day, it might be 10 years, it might be a year, it might be a month, it might be 20 years, it might be at the judgment seat of Christ. But at some point, if you'll follow what God says to do in this book and his wisdom, at some point you'll look back and say, praise God, I'm so glad I did what God said to do. Praise God, he was right. He's been so good. He's led me in the way that I ought to go. And you can look back at it with a clear conscience and with a joyful heart and say, God's way is the best way. And so wisdom is justified of her children. Let's pray tonight and we'll dive in. All right, Lord, we love you. Thank you for the good day. Thank you for these folks. Lord, making an effort to come out to church. And I know folks had a busy day today and busy and running around and taking care of business or going to doctor appointments. Lord, just all kinds of things today. And yet we've made the effort to come apart from the world and to gather together and assemble with the saints. And so Lord, in the quietness of this time, please help us to arrest all the thoughts and imaginations of our heart that go against you and go against the Bible. And Lord, I pray that all the cares of life would not choke out the word tonight, but that you'd help us to focus on you. Lord, calm our hearts, calm our spirits, calm our minds. And Lord, help us to grasp this all-important lesson. We're glad, Lord, that you care for us. We're glad that you gave us your word on how you would like us to live on this earth. And Lord, I can certainly say in the areas of my life where I've followed your advice, it's been so good, Lord. And I can praise you for it and thank you for it. And Lord, the times that I haven't followed your advice, I've certainly made a mess of things. And you wish you'd go back, Lord, but we can't go back. And so I pray that from henceforth, Father, you'd help our church to live in wisdom, the wisdom that comes from above. And that, Lord, that wisdom would be justified of all of her children. We pray you'll help us tonight. May your word have free course. May the preaching be mixed with faith that it might be profitable and effectual in our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And all right, James chapter 3. James chapter 3. You know as well as I do, there's two types of wisdom available to people today. James chapter 3 tells us what they are, and I'm going to say this to you tonight. I've talked a lot about God's wisdom already, but the wisdom of the world, which we're going to see here in James chapter 3, she's also justified of her children. Now that word justify, I know we're all probably familiar with it in regards to our salvation, okay? And the way that we say that, and if you look it up in the dictionary, that word justify or justified or justification, all the variants, you're going to get this. It's a judicial term that means to declare righteous. Okay, and so you and I who are born again tonight, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are justified by grace through faith, not of works. Okay, and so God, when God the Father looks at me and you who are saved tonight, we are declared righteous judicially, even though we're guilty as all get out. We're declared righteous because the blood of Jesus Christ has washed us white as snow. Okay? That's not the justification that we're going to talk about tonight. All right? How many of you like to type on the computer? A few of you? Okay. So you're familiar with when you start a new document on your computer, you're familiar with you can left justify the words. Or you can right justify the words. Or you can center justify the words. Or you can full justify the word. All right. And so that word justify that we're going to look at tonight simply means to align, to prove, or to show. And so when Jesus says that wisdom is justified of her children, what he means by that is, whichever wisdom people are following, whether it's the wisdom of the world or the wisdom of God, they're going to align with that and it's going to be very obvious. They're going to prove, they're going to show by their works and by their actions and by their words which wisdom they're following and which wisdom they are pursuing and allowing to affect them. So here in James chapter 3, and verse 13, the Bible says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of, and the word is, wisdom. Now, as you're going to see, this meekness of wisdom comes from above. Okay, it's the godly wisdom. It's the heavenly wisdom. Verse 14, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom, in contrast to the meekness that God gives in wisdom, this bitter envying and strife and lying. The Bible says this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and the word is devilish. Now that's the kind of wisdom you and I don't need to have. Amen. And he goes on to say, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But you'd agree with me tonight, I think, that those who follow the earthly, sensual, devilish wisdom, they align with that, they prove that by their works, and they show which wisdom they're allowing to affect their lives. And so that earthly, sensual, devilish wisdom, her children are shown by that. Equally so, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above, that's the godly wisdom, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Praise the Lord. And what's the outworking of that wisdom? So the outworking of the earthly, sensual, devilish wisdom is envy and strife and lying and fighting. And I mean, every man for himself, right? But the wisdom that comes from above produces, verse 18, the fruit of righteousness. And you know, you can see some fruit. Amen? That's visible. That fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And so here tonight you have the two wisdoms available upon the face of this earth. You can either have the earthly, sensual, devilish wisdom of the world, or you can be following God's wisdom that comes from above. And whichever wisdom it is, wisdom should be justified of her children. Whether we're following the world's wisdom or God's wisdom, we'll prove it with our actions, we'll prove it with our words, we'll prove it with the way that we live our life and the thoughts that we have and the way we make decisions. And I'm just telling you tonight, after 43 short years on this earth, I can attest to you publicly, God's wisdom is better than the world's wisdom. And when you and I follow God's wisdom, we can look back at it one day and say, praise the Lord, that was the way to go. And it's not just that we can look back at it. Others look at our life. And if we're following God's wisdom, they're going to notice something different. If we're following God's wisdom, we'll be peculiar. For following God's wisdom, listen, there may be something, God may bless you in such a way that somebody looks at your life and says, listen, what do you got? Why do you live the life that you live? And isn't that what God told us to be ready to give an answer to? But how are we supposed to give that answer? Does anybody remember? With what? No, close the chair. With meekness. Right? And that's that meekness of wisdom. Anyway, we're not talking about that tonight. So certainly, these wisdoms are different. It's a way of thinking. It's a thought process. It's all those things, okay? So come with me now to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I hope you're following God's wisdom tonight. I hope you think it's the best wisdom. God's way is the best way. And I will say this, if we're following God's wisdom, the world's not going to understand us. If we're following God's wisdom, the world's probably not going to agree with us. They're not going to like it. But one day, wisdom will be justified of her children. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Matthew 7, verse 15, the Bible says this, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. I expect that takes a little bit of time. I mean, everybody's been here long enough, I can say this now. Somebody shows up to this church, you'll have to forgive me. But as the pastor of this church, and after all we've been through, somebody visits our church, I'm glad they're here, but it takes me a little bit of time to really get comfortable with them. Just like it takes them a little time to get comfortable with us. And I wish we could just throw the doors open and say, y'all, come on in. But you do that, you're going to get a wolf in sheep's clothing. And that thing is not always apparent. It's not all people's motives, not always clear. But time reveals a lot of things. And just being around people reveals a lot of things. And so when the Lord says this, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves, he's telling his people, ye shall know them by their fruits. You're going to have to watch them for a while. You've got to talk to them for a while. Now, I don't think we have any of that here. Hallelujah. Amen. All a bunch of sheep in here. But the point is, it gets revealed in time. Just like how we follow or don't follow God's wisdom, we may not suffer the punishment of not following God's wisdom immediately. We may not reap the benefits of following God's wisdom immediately. But one day we can look back and say, if we follow God, I did the right thing. And so the Lord says here to men, gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles. The obvious answer is no. 17. So every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Okay, now look at verse 21. And so the point of all that is, what they really are is going to be shown over time. It's going to be proven over time as to what they really are and by their fruits. Everybody understands that? Okay. 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Boy, this is a scary passage right here. Many will say to me in that day, 22, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Is that a good work? Prophesy in Jesus' name? Sure. And in thy name have cast out devils? Was that a good work? Sure. I wish I could do that today. You'd be overtime busy. The Lord said, this kind cometh not forth but by prayer and fasting. So we'll let God handle that work. Amen. And in thy name done many wonderful works. Well, that's a good thing to do. And so here's the point. On the surface, these people look like they're God's people. It's the same principle as he's talking about these wolves in sheep's clothing. And he's talking to them about analyzing and looking at the fruits over time. And he says here, he says, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. He said, there's some out there that are going to do works in my name. There are some out there the devil's going to empower them to cast out devils. There's some out there that in the name of Jesus, they're going to do some really great things. But at the end of the day, 23, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. In other words, their name's not in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you remember when Jesus sent out the 72 by 2? Remember that? And those guys come back and they said, Jesus, you're not going to believe this. The devils are subject to us. Like Jesus, like, you know, shocker to him, right? And I'm paraphrasing. And he tells those guys, he says, you don't need to be rejoicing that the devils are subject to you. He said, you need to be rejoicing that your name's written in heaven. Because when everybody stands at the judgment seat of Christ, the real truth's going to come out. When Jesus Christ judges every man and every woman, either at the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne, the real truth's going to come out. And all the Lord is saying to us is, it's going to take some time for fruit to be born, whether it's in your life or other people's lives. And wisdom, though, will be justified of her children, whether it's earthly wisdom or godly wisdom. All right, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, that's a good thing, amen? I will liken unto him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. That's a bad thing to do, amen? That's foolish. Shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. And I think this is the absolute perfect illustration for God to put forth about wisdom being justified of her children. You got a man who's wise and builds his house on a rock on the chance that the storm's going to come. And you got the foolish man that says, storm ain't going to come. I can build that house for $40,000 less if I just put it over here on the sand. And he goes over there and builds a beautiful house and got nice landscaping, got nice vehicles sitting in the driveway. But when the storm hits that house, it comes down and great was the fall of it. And I'm telling you, wisdom was justified of both of her children in both situations. It was proven what kind of wisdom they listened to. I often wondered what made the foolish man build his house upon sand. I mean, everybody knows you build a house on a foundation, right? I mean, even some of our old Appalachian ancestors a couple hundred years ago, I mean, it wasn't level, but there's some rocks underneath that thing. I mean, they had enough sense from the Bible, put a rock under it, amen? And I mean, it's almost like there's no excuse for what the foolish man did other than just being foolish. Or trying to save money. Or trying to save time. I'm looking at a group of people tonight in our church. You know the value of doing things right. And man, I appreciate that. You know the value of doing a job right. Doing all the necessary steps. Not trying to cut corners. Amen? And I appreciate that about this group. Because it's what's gonna keep the foundation of this church strong is when we get tempted to cut corners or cut something out that is fundamental to the faith. And I've heard and seen you folks say, we ain't cutting that out. We ain't gonna cut that corner. This is God's work. He deserves the best. We're gonna follow God's wisdom because God surely knows best. You know what I think our church can do almost 90 years? I believe we can look back and say, God's way is the best way. Maybe it didn't go the way we thought it was going to go, but sitting here tonight, God's way is the best way. God's wisdom is the best wisdom. And I pray that this church is a demonstration and proves and shows that God's wisdom is the best wisdom. So the point of this in Matthew 7, obviously, is wisdom being justified of her children. But I want to say this to you again. I want to reinforce this tonight. They didn't finish that house, and the next day the storm came. The storm didn't come while they're building that house. They got the house done. They're living there like many do, and they don't think anything's going to happen. And then, boom. Here comes the rain, here comes the wind, here comes the flood. And then we're going to see, aren't we? It's going to be revealed through that storm which wisdom they listened to. Can you make that application to your life tonight? If you're following God's wisdom, when the storms of your life hit, it'll be revealed if you're listening to God or not. Wisdom should be justified of her children no matter which wisdom it is. All right, Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. I know the Bible says that the Jews require a sign. 2 Corinthians 1:22, I get all that. But there's something I appreciate about David. I know he was a man after God's own heart and he had a lot of superlatives. But you know, when the enemy came and invaded Ziklag, remember he was trying to go to battle with the Philistines, and the lords of the Philistines said, that guy ain't coming with us. And Achish has to send him home back to Ziklag. And he gets there and the city's ransacked. Houses are burned. Wives and children all taken captive. Plundered. And you remember that, I believe that's, 1 Samuel 30, I think, in there somewhere. Because it's where David encouraged himself in the Lord. But he prays. Now, if that's me and you, we come look at that, and then all the people are talking about killing us. I mean, if I'm David, I'm just saying, all right, boys, gird your swords on, let's go get them. Right? But David's got enough sense, he's got enough wisdom, that he says, God, do I go? And God says, yeah, go get them. Lord put something on Gideon's heart. And he goes to bed one night and he says, Lord, if that's really what you want me to do, I'm going to lay this fleece out here. Can that fleece be soaking wet and everything else be dry around it? He goes to sleep, wakes up, it's just like he asked. And for me and you, we'd probably be like, all right, let's go. But Gideon says, just want to make sure, Lord. And he asked him the opposite. Let that fleece be dry and the ground be wet around it. And God did it. But you know what I appreciate? And there's others in the Bible we could think about and talk about. What I appreciate about those men is there was a pretty obvious decision in front of them. But instead of just rushing into it, they pulled back and said, Lord, what do you think? And yes, I know that goes along with what we talked about last Wednesday night. But the wisdom that those men followed was justified of her children. Luke chapter 7, verse 19. Luke 7:19. The Bible says, and John calling unto him two of his disciples sent them to Jesus. Now John's in prison, right? Why is he in prison? Preached against the king. Because the king's committing adultery with his brother's wife. That's weird. Okay, that's what produces family trees that are in a circle of, or in a wreath shape, right? That's wrong. And John the Baptist is the same man that said, Jesus Christ must increase and I must decrease. John the Baptist is the same man that said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. John the Baptist is the same man that preached in that, I think he's standing in the river, and people come to the river and they said, John, I want to get baptized. He said, you got to repent first. And those people come to him and he'd tell them boldly to their face, hey, you soldiers, go do your work and be content with your wages. He didn't back down from that. And so when the opportunity came and he heard about what Herod was doing with Herodias and he had a chance and he said, King, that's wrong. You ought not be doing that. And Herodias got mad and pulled her strings and got him put in prison. And so that's where we pick up here. John's in prison and he calls two of his disciples and he says, go to Jesus, send him to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come or look we for another? And before we would ever say, oh, that's weak, put yourself in his shoes. I told you, following the wisdom of God may not always work out the way you think it ought to work out. Was it the wisdom of God to tell Herod he's committing adultery? Absolutely. He's trying to help that boy. He's trying to keep God's judgment from coming down on the nation of Israel for adultery and fornication in the kingdom. And so he speaks out against it. He gets put in jail. That's probably not what he expected. Definitely wasn't what he expected when they came with the sword. But he's sitting there and he's thinking about his life and he's considering things. And one day he just calls two of his disciples in. And he says, listen, I need you to go ask Jesus a question. Okay, John, what do you want to say? I want you to ask him, is he the one we're supposed to be looking for, or are we looking for somebody else? And you got to try to think about, why is John asking that question? Because his wisdom is starting to falter. And he's starting to think like the world thinks. Well, I did right. I shouldn't be in this position. I followed God's wisdom. God shouldn't let this happen to me. Hello. And so these guys come to Jesus. Bible says in that same hour he cured 21 many of their infirmities and plagues of evil spirits, and to many that were blind he gave sight. And Jesus answering unto them said unto them, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, dead are raised to the poor, the gospel is preached. In other words, Jesus said, go tell him all this stuff and it ought to be really obvious who I am. But then he finishes it with this, 23, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Okay, is that the wisdom from above or the wisdom of the earth? That's the wisdom from above. To do what's right and not be offended in Jesus Christ is the wisdom that comes from God. And so when Jesus sends this message back to John, he's trying to encourage him. He's trying to embolden him. He's trying to strengthen him. John, don't falter, John. Don't let those thoughts creep into your head, John. Don't let your faith get weak, son. Don't you start listening to those prisoners in there. Don't you start... Because what do prisoners say in a jail?
Man, I'm innocent. I shouldn't be here. They're so mean to me.
Well, listen, you sit around that long enough, you'll start thinking that about yourself. And John, I don't, that's all speculation. The bottom line is, a man that he was convinced is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, now he's asking him, are you really who I said you were? And Jesus sends back the message about all the things that he's done. It should be obvious, John. Now, John, don't falter, son. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now watch this, verse 24. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. Boy, this really warms my heart. He says, what went ye out in the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Well, John had had something on, didn't he? Camel's hair and a leather girdle and ate honey and grasshoppers. Anyway, look what Jesus says. Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. You see, Jesus' estimation of John is different than the world's estimation of John. Might I say that Jesus' estimation of John is different than John's estimation of John. And he goes on to say, this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, 27, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, look at this. Among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. Well, that's some high praise, isn't it? And yet, John is faltering in his faith. John's wisdom is starting to change. And so Jesus ends the conversation, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Why? Apparently John hasn't yet been converted. Because his faith is faltering. And so you look at verse 29, the Bible says, and all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. There's a group that listened to the wisdom of God. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. There's a group that subscribed to the wisdom of the world. They thought they were self-righteous. That's devilish, amen. They're full of pride. That's satanic. And so again, there's two groups of people, and the wisdom that they subscribe to is justified of her children. It's proven in their lives. The Bible goes on to say, verse 31, and the Lord said, whereunto shall I liken the men of this generation? Now we're back in our text tonight. Boy, the context is so important, isn't it? And he comes down here, verse 35, and he says, wisdom shall be justified of her children. And so it will be in my life, in your life, whichever wisdom we listen to the most, the wisdom of the world or the wisdom of God, it'll show up in our life. It'll come out in the fruit. It'll be evidenced by how we speak. It'll be evidenced by how we think. It'll be evidenced by what we do with our lives and the decisions that we make. You know, I've said this many times pastoring here over all these years, that a person's true heart is revealed when there's no directive given. And you'll forgive me, I'm bad with the kings. I don't remember if it was Asa or Hezekiah. Which one did the Babylonians come see and you showed them everything? Hezekiah. So the Bible says that, and that was during his 15-year extra life. And the Bible says that God, when those people came, the Bible says that God left him. Meaning God pulled back his hand of direction. God just took a step back and said, I'm going to watch what this man, I'm going to see what's really in his heart. The Bible says that God left him to try and to know all that was in his heart. And when Hezekiah opened up the kingdom and showed those guys everything, I'm sure God's heart just fell. Because he wasn't listening to the wisdom that came from God. He was living in that earthly, sensual, devilish realm. And those guys come in. I mean, listen, it's nothing but pride that says to somebody, listen, somebody visits your house and the first thing you do is say, hey, come in here, let me show you my safe. You'd be dumb to do that. I'll stop right there. Wisdom should be justified of her children. It's all about what's in the heart. And here's what I would encourage our church tonight in James chapter 1. Again, very, very familiar verse. But in James chapter 1, maybe you would be, and listen, it takes humility to do this. Abby and I were studying this in her Bible class already this week. It takes humility to admit that you don't have all the answers. It takes humility to admit to God, God, I need your help in this, right? In this decision, in this circumstance, situation, whatever it is, conversation. God, I need your wisdom and I want your wisdom in this. And so James chapter 1 says, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And I'm just telling you tonight, church, it's going to take some humility to do that. It's going to take some meekness, amen, to do that. It won't be, pride's not going to let you do that. That devilish wisdom's going to say, I'll just make the decision, it'll be okay. That earthly wisdom's going to say, ah, everybody else is doing it. That sensual wisdom's going to say, ah, man, it'd be fun, wouldn't it? I mean, go ahead. Buy it. Go ahead. Do it. Go ahead. Try it. That's the world's wisdom. When God's wisdom might say, stay away from it. Don't even look at it. Don't touch it. Flee it. Amen? And so here, the Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. Boy, he's a good God, isn't he? You know, he's got enough wisdom for me. He's got enough wisdom for you tonight. And he still won't run out if he gives us everything he's got. He can give to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it should be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Doesn't that describe John the Baptist? Sitting in the prison cell. Jesus, are you really who you say you are? Come on, John. You're the guy that prophesied to the whole world who he was. You're the guy that baptized the Son of God. And when he came up out of that water, John, you saw the Holy Ghost as a dove come out of heaven, and you heard God the Father speak, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. What are you doing asking that kind of a question? Just listening to the wrong people. Listening to the wrong wisdom. You know what you and I that are trying to live for God in this world, we start listening to the world's wisdom instead of keeping our eyes on God's wisdom. We start listening to the world's wisdom, we're going to be double-minded just like that. And we're going to be unstable. And we're going to be like Reuben, unstable as water. And do y'all remember what the end of that phrase was? Thou shalt not prosper. But I sure want God's wisdom to be proven and shown in my life. And I can point to some areas where it has, and I can point to some areas where I made dumb decisions. Just like probably everybody else here. But may the Lord help us here at Spring City to justify God and to justify His wisdom to this world. And show our family members, show our coworkers, show our friends, show our neighbors, God's way is the best way. Amen. God's way is the best way.